Love.
Love Line is meant for an adult audience. Love Line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Josh Cook here tonight from Committed.
Hello.
NBC, 9:30, Tuesday nights. All right. Oh, turn the mic and point it toward you.
Right?
Drew, we should. No,
I've already screwed it up.
You're fine. No, we screwed it up. Yeah.
We should advise.
It's not you. It's him.
Oh, okay.
I'm pointing at Drew.
There we go.
Twist that thing up.
I almost broke it.
Oh, no. It is broken.
Oh, it's broken. Okay.
Don't get me wrong. Drew, you're never going to fix the top part. Just tilt the bottom part.
We got it. It's good.
No, it's a good. I'll slouch. That's better.
You're right. Yeah,
I
that's
like
better.
It anyway. It makes me feel good anyway.
Yeah, they make a big deal about slouching, but you sit correctly for 10 minutes and your back starts killing you. What is that? It's the same thing with eating.
It's unhealthy.
It is, right? It all tastes like crap. Drew, work on that, would you?
I'll work on it.
Josh is he's a hot young star on the scene.
Oh.
Rising.
Wow.
Rising. Hot star.
That's special.
How many episodes of Committed did you do?
We did 13. We finished it up in November.
And how far, where are we now in the season?
I think they've shown 5 by now. They were doing 2 a week for the first 2 weeks. And, we just, the fifth one was aired on Tuesday.
And they, Josh and I were talking before the show, they wanted another couple more, which
nice.
Is always always a good scene.
Yeah, possibly. We hope so, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's always funny. It's always funny when the network is sort of cautious, playing it close to the vest, and they go, give us 6, and then it becomes a big success, and then they start screaming at you, how soon can we get more?
Right.
But, better than, I think we got enough. But right. I think, so the initial order was?
The initial order was 13, actually. So
perfect. That's 13 is, we like it, we don't love it.
But then they asked for 4 more.
Then they asked for 4 more.
And now we almost love it.
Now it's like we're getting close to love. We love it. No anal. We'll do it. Missionary.
Oral.
We'll finish you off.
Okay.
But not going. Not getting the big A. Yes?
Yeah.
All right. Josh is from Philly. And I'm supposed to be from Philly. It was always unclear with me.
With the Corollas, everything's unclear.
Yeah. My dad was born in Philly. I was in Philly when I was a little kid. I remember being around there. I remember Drew and I went to Philly a couple of years back. Drew was vomiting the entire time. And but guys from Philly, I don't know how different towns have their different vibes. Philly has its own vibe. Not quite Chicago, not quite New York, but maybe something in between.
Yeah, it's just a smaller feeling. I spent a lot of time in New York. I would kind of go up there whenever I could, you know. It's just, you know, that feeling whatever city you grow up in, you just kind of, you don't think it's cool until you go away.
Yeah.
You think,
yeah,
unless you come from bad. L.A., because then it really isn't cool.
No, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, we I don't know, go around the country, everywhere we went, we'd go, oh my God, L.A. sucks.
People from L.A. have such horrible self-esteem, by the way, that you could sit in, you know, you can sit in front of people and they go, L.A.'s nothing but earthquakes and Mexicans. And you're like, yeah, it sucks. Yeah. You can't do that with anyone else.
Right.
You start talking about Chicago.
You mentioned the weather.
Yeah, it's the greatest city on earth. They get all angry. L.A., people just start hanging their heads. Yeah, you're right.
They kind of agree.
Yeah, they do.
I met, there was one guy I knew once, so he kept telling me that L.A. was better than New York. And the reason was, he said, if you took New York and cut it in half and put it next to each other, that's L.A. I said, what the hell does that mean?
Mean?
First of all, second of all, no.
Yeah, no. No matter how you cut it,
I'm sorry.
Here is the one problem.
That's an LA guy that's never been to New York.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
The one problem with Los Angeles is we take the top 5% of a-holes from the rest of the country and welcome them
so
in.
So true.
So that's all we have. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about it, you grow up in a small town. There's 20 cool guys, and there's one a-hole who says, I'm going to make it. Oh, yeah. One day you're going to be seeing me on that.
And here's the really scary thing.
A little too much time in the mirror.
There's a sort of eugenics that goes on. There's a a-holics, which is that they reproduce.
Yeah.
And when, as parents, they're worse, and they make a worse offspring.
Ooh, interesting. Uh-huh. And it's not just twice as bad.
Well, now you've got the runs rolling in from everywhere else, and now we're breeding awful ones here.
Yeah. We should just put a sign right up front of L.A. Welcome, assholes. Come on down. Bring your headshots, your resumes, your hopes, your dreams. And then that a-hole is the guy who's supposed to be bringing you your omelet. But he's pissed because he didn't come out here to sling hash. He came out here to make it on the silver screen, except for he's never going to do it. So all you get is the disgruntled guy who's supposed to be bringing your goddamn omelet.
And he's also going to read you everything he's ever done in his life. He's going to recite it to you.
Yeah.
Tell you all of his hopes and dreams. And
you know what I really realized? L.A. is, you get your choice in terms of, you know, the guy's going to park your car, the guy's going to take your food order, the guy's going to wash car. You get angry foreigner or a disgruntled honky.
Out of towner.
Yeah, white guy who should be doing something better in this because he's better than you. Or there's just foreign guy who doesn't speak much English and doesn't care. You're just a sheep. Yeah,
well,
sure.
Well, one thing we did out here at this mother station in Los Angeles, we had a fundraiser.
We did.
This is called a transition.
Yeah.
And we fundraised for the tsunami victims. And
we did
an auction. And one of the things that was auctioned was a chance to come on Loveline and be a guest.
Oh, yeah.
Which was much like Josh Cook is doing tonight. And somebody paid $15,000 for that.
I know. Oh.
And he's on the phone right now.
Really? He's on?
And Tom Burbine.
Tom Burbine?
He's on line 7.
Where's he calling from?
I don't know. We'll find out.
All right.
Wow.
I guess I could have asked him that, huh?
That's very generous.
Any other questions you might be able to answer about him that he couldn't do himself? Should I keep going? What's his sign, Drew?
Scorpio.
What do you think? Scorpio? All right. I'm going to go with Gemini, Josh.
I'll take Aquarius.
Aquarius.
Wait, what else? Where was he born? Florida.
I'm not even going to remember this part. You got Scorpio?
Yeah.
Aquarius? I got Gemini?
Mm-hmm.
I bet we're all wrong.
All right.
Tom?
Yes, Adam?
What's your sign?
I'm a Leo, and I was born in Schenectady, New York.
I knew it.
I was going to say Wichita.
Tom, now what is up, brother man?
Yeah, one of my goals in life was to be on Loveline, and since I'm not an actor or a singer, or I don't have big breasts, I was never going to get on. So when I heard you announce that you were having this auction, I said I was going to get it. I didn't care what the price was. It was mine.
Who is number one?
I like that.
$15,000.
Wait a minute. I'm immediately intrigued. What are some of your other goals in life? Because clearly this is a guy that when he sets a goal, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I got an asteroid named after me. That was one of my goals in life.
An asteroid?
Yeah, an asteroid. I do asteroid research.
Hold on.
I got a PhD from MIT. That was another of my goals. So
a what from MIT?
A PhD.
PhD from MIT.
Wow.
And one of your goals was to be on Loveline.
Yes. So
that's awesome.
I think I can
now.
Now they told us last night you were calling from South Hadley. Were you teaching at Holyoke or something?
Yeah. I just got a like a research scientist position at Mount Holyoke.
Thank you.
Very good.
Nerds uniting here.
Wow. You two can just 69 the entire show while I talk to screwed up kids calling all nerds. Yeah. Wow. And now Tom.
It's all girls' school, Adam. That's one of the advantages.
Yeah.
That got better all of a sudden.
Hold on a second, Tom.
I'm pretty sure I can take the students, but no one's told me yes or no. But I'm 99% sure I'm not supposed to.
I'll second that.
I'm going way out on a limb with Tom. I'm going trust fund, baby. Because this guy doesn't sound like he's made 15 grand to toss around.
Yes.
Really? Where'd he get his money? Where'd the money come from? He's got 15 grand to toss around?
Sometimes guys at MIT invent stuff.
Really?
Let's see.
All right. Tom?
Yes?
$15,000 is a lot of money.
Yeah, I know that.
Now, not for me, because I'm literally a millionaire, but for guys like you, that's a king's ransom.
Yes, but I don't do things for money. I just do things for happiness. So.
Right.
But how do you get the money, then?
But where... Where do you, where did you get the money? How did you earn this money?
I'm teaching a class in the spring at UMass Amherst, astronomy class, so I'm getting paid exactly $15,000. So that money is going to this auction, and then I will live on the money I get from Mount Holyoke, too.
Wow. You mean you're giving 15 grand on a teacher's salary?
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
That's amazingly generous. My gosh.
Wow. You know what? I'm gonna let you hump Drew's leg.
Oh, thank you.
I figured you were some trust fund baby, and this was just a drop in the ocean for you. I didn't know it was an entire semester's worth of work.
It's a big percentage of my salary this year.
But I want you to know, Tom, that when it comes to any sort of academic pursuit, the idea of first of all doing that and then doing it and not getting anything at the end of it, Adam's head just exploded.
Mm.
I mean, that to me, that would be like, you'd rather have bamboo shoots under your nails.
Doesn't
because I met you, Doctor, at your book signing in Virginia like a year ago.
Where was I in Virginia? Where?
I forget. It's one where the person bought the rabbit. They brought a rabbit to the book signing.
I can't remember.
You brought a rabbit to a book signing?
Some actual animal or like
they
were dressed like...
Yeah, they had a rabbit in the front row. This person had a rabbit.
Yeah, and it was in Virginia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll have to think about
it. It was about a year ago, I think.
I'll look at my schedule.
The crack tour.
Okay. Well, thank you. I'll think of where I was.
Tom, when are you coming out here?
I don't know. No one's told me. I still have to pay, but the PayPal is kind of weird. They have to ensure I have a bank account. I guess criminals don't have bank accounts, so I'm trying to pay on this PayPal. So
it's an internet payment system. Yeah.
Oh, no, listen, I buy porn. What do you mean? I do my part. You kidding? I give till it hurts.
Oh, Tom, I can't wait to meet you.
This is
going to
be awesome. We're going out to dinner with you.
Oh, thank you. That would be the highlight of my life, too.
Yeah.
Make it one of your goals and be sure that it'll happen that way.
Hey, yeah. Guys, ask Tom when he started listening.
Tom, when did you start listening?
I listened in 99. One of the first episodes I heard was when Pennywise barricaded you in the studio.
Wow. No kidding.
Yeah.
I thought this is the greatest show, but nothing ever that exciting ever happened again. But I still hope for it.
Well, maybe when you come down here wearing that dynamite vest, we can make that right again.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
Go up.
Yeah.
Tom.
Yeah. All right. So Tom, you're going to come down here. We're going to take you out to dinner.
You know, I went to Amherst College.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
I did.
My bus that goes from Mount Holyoke to UMass Amherst stopped in. It's a beautiful campus.
A great campus. And yeah.
Gorgeous.
Go Lord Jeffs.
Go Lord Jeff. Yeah. Got a lot of friends at Holyoke.
Wouldn't you say Jeffs? You have to say Go Lord Jeffs, like if you're talking about the football team.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if there's one black guy on the football team, he's pissed. Lord Jeffs? What? He's going to be angry. He's like throwing a tantrum in the locker room every week. Guy with a long robe and long powdered wig as the mascot. That sucks.
Yes, it does.
You're a black guy. You want a cougar or something. You don't want Lord Jeffs. Hey, Tom.
Yes.
I love the cut of your jib.
Oh, thank you.
You are liberating.
Yes, yes.
I like that. There's something about that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's nice. I wish we could all be more like you.
Oh, thank you.
If everyone was more like you, I'd be getting laid more, too. That's the other thing I'm thinking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, Tom, you have a lady?
I'm trying to go out with this girl in D.C., but it's in the preliminary stages, so. When I tell her I'm going to be on Loveline, I might be able to get her, but.
Yeah.
Is she a teacher, too?
We need to create a job for Tom.
No, she works at the World Bank.
You study asteroids?
Yeah, I do composition of asteroids, how they reflect light, and I can determine their mineralogy.
Any of them heading our way?
No, one will hit us sooner or later, but
that's good.
None is known to be on the collision course.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they always say it's not going to take one, you know, much bigger than a crouton to create 100,000 Nagasakis. Like, it's always like, huh? What? Yes. One the size of a U-Haul truck would take out all of Central America.
Right.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Oh, because of the speed. Yeah. That's always, what is that? I always feel bad for the people from Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Let me
when
ask
they always
you
go, I'm not thunder.
Oh, yeah.
It's gonna explode with 1,000 times the force. It's sort of like,
yeah. Yeah. Well, look at the tsunami. That's a little tiny blip compared to what an asteroid would do.
Really?
A tiny thing.
And there's a part of me that'd like to see an asteroid hit, but really on my last day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's going to be your last day anyway. It might as well be exciting.
No. I mean on my last day. Like I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Any day. Anyway.
It's going to be anyway your last day. Might as well be a...
Yeah. Yeah. Seeing all the younger people
go with
die.
It.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom.
Yes.
Are you sort of a catastrophic theoretician that things have collided with the Earth repeatedly and caused some of the biological and geological changes we've had?
Yeah, I mean, most of the big extinctions, like the KT boundary, look like an asteroid hit and other ones. But these things, when they hit, disrupt the Earth. If you look at the moon, it's all cratered, and that's how the Earth would have looked if we didn't have the water to, like, erase the evidence.
Mm.
Oh, interesting.
So we have our Sea of Tranquility.
Is it also the other thing that when the thing hits the ocean, it causes a huge wall of water to come over the land?
Because most of the stuff hits the water because the world is three-fourths ocean. So I think a lot of the tsunamis in the past were probably caused by an asteroid. This one was definitely caused by an earthquake. But
don't you figure most of us are going to die of AIDS or get a shiv put in us before that happens? I mean,
yeah,
I don't want to be Pollyanna-ish about the whole thing, but I happen to say it's half full, not half empty. Yeah.
But if one is on a collision course, I think I get more funding, so it's actually good for
me. That's good. Well, you come on our show and talk about it.
A near miss would be exciting. All right, Tom. Well, God bless you.
Well, thank you.
We'll be talking more.
Okay.
So are you saying the Earth is older than 2,000 years?
Yes, it's closer to like 4.6 billion.
Well, listen, I don't need to hear that kind of gibberish. I'm a man of God. Please.
Well, how dare you argue with things like logic when I have faith?
I have faith. Yeah? Yeah, really? Well, who created the asteroids then, smart guy? Huh? I love that argument. Really? Who made the moon then? Who? That's your argument? I love that retarded God argument. Oh, really? No God? Not who made the solar system? Well, touche. You're right. It was a big Paul Bunyan-sized guy must have done it with a pool cue.
The logic
right.
I like.
Who? Okay, well, you're right.
There's such a logic to all this. It's so intricate. So some incredible force, a mind must create. I'm thinking every time you see a complex like machine or building, you think a person built that? Or thousands of people working together.
I had a great argument about a giraffe once. There was a guy arguing about the reason that there was a God is because the giraffe existed.
Yeah,
because everything about its weight and distribution was wrong. It should fall over and die or something. I don't know.
It's like the reason there's no God is the reason there is a giraffe. This whole evolution thing probably started off looking like a fire plug.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then as the leaves got higher up the tree, actually, I think it wanted to blow itself.
Oh, well, that the motivation that can create.
So. Yeah, yeah. And not front side, back side.
Oh, well, that's thus we have a giraffe.
Thus the giraffe.
Mutation begins.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I know.
Now we offended everybody on this planet. Let's go.
Let's go. Here we go. Michelle?
Yes.
Yeah?
What's up?
Who do you think made those Rocky Mountains? Huh? Who? Come
on. What's up, Michelle?
Who? One of your buddies from work? I don't think so.
Great. Go, Michelle.
Fine argument.
Hello.
Hey, Michelle.
What's happening, Michelle?
I had a question about erotic enema.
Ooh. How's that go?
It's like a song by...
I'm lost.
Adam would like this topic. My boyfriend's suggesting that we try this. It's an enema like any other enema, I guess, but with alcohol, like with red wine or something, and it's supposed to be very arousing and relaxing and get you like 10 times drunk as fast, but I'm thinking this could be dangerous.
Yeah, it is dangerous. People can actually overdose on alcohol with enemas,
right?
But nothing erotic about it. It's just getting loaded.
How about someone, just springs and buys a tumbler? You guys actually drink it like human beings.
A wine glass would be
you have is a funnel? That's all you got at the house?
No, we've got wine glasses, but he wants to try something different.
Well, here's what my head immediately goes to. Have you guys ever had sex, the two of you?
Oh, yeah.
Hold on a
second.
What's he
up to? You're talking about fetish here?
Yeah. If
he's up to something.
If a guy's pushing let's put a case of Chardonnay up the a-hole, I think you've gotten it on before.
He's up to something. He's got something. There's something to follow.
There's more than this?
I'm intrigued.
This isn't anything but getting her wasted. That's all it is. I need to get her wasted so I can...
But
fill in the blank.
You already have a funnel in her ass. What could you possibly do to raise the stakes?
Bring somebody else in. I don't know. That's what I'm asking. Is he even pushing for something else?
So you're saying when you get that funnel going back there and there's booze going in at 1 minute, next thing you know, they're throwing everything in there. Genitalia, boobs, it's all going down the funnel. Tinker toys.
Stuffed animals.
Everything down the funnel. Michelle?
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like one of those ideas like when somebody says, let's assassinate the president. And you're like, are you serious? What are you kidding? No. We're going to get shot or spend... That's the same reaction you should have to the booze in the anus suggestion.
But that's why it seems he's moving it along. He's trying to get her into things that he wants to get into. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's being very persistent. Initially, I reacted like, you want to what? But, you know, he's being very persistent about it. And, you know, he's sending me, like, information on websites. And, you know, people do this. And... I don't know if there's
people do all kinds of things, Michelle. It doesn't necessarily mean you've got to do it. But what is he up to? Is this it? This is the best as it gets, as good as it gets for
him?
Can
I ask how long you've been together?
A little over a year.
And you like this guy?
Yeah.
Does he have an alcohol problem himself?
He's a keeper. No doubt. You want to marry him.
Does he have an alcohol problem?
I don't know about marriage, but I would say. I mean,
by the way, is alcoholic behavior. But be that as it may, is he urging you to have anal sex or to bring threesomes or that kind of thing too?
Oh, no other parties. But yeah, the anal thing's a big issue with him.
See, this is where that's going next.
What do you mean? Yeah, she said no. She said no.
Not threesomes. Yes, anal sex.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, of course. Got a bottle Old Crow up her ass. Why should it be a welcome reprieve to have a penis in there?
That's the point. That's where he's going. That's where this is headed.
All right. Drew is a genius, by the way. That's where he's going. He's not there, you idiot.
But the point is, this is not about...
All right. Whatever. Quiet down. Michelle?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you guys are going to have a nerd off.
Oh, yes. Big time. Big time.
Anything can go in your ass. You just got to relax.
Yeah, true. Easy. All right, Michelle, don't do it if you don't want to do it. And we don't trust this guy.
But is it dangerous? That was my main question.
The main danger is...
Yes, but how dangerous is it?
The main issue is the speed with which the alcohol is absorbed and people can't overdose on the alcohol.
I'll tell you the other danger.
End up not breathing.
He wants to dump red wine in there, right?
Yeah.
Right? Okay, because... I find a Chardonnay goes nice with a cornholing, but that's where I'm from. I could use some vineyard.
I thought you were like a malt liquor guy.
No, not with a cornholing. No.
I want scotch out the butt.
No. I'm looking for something that's assertive without being pushy.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
And the real trouble comes
Sauvignon Blanc.
When they have to cleanse the palate, getting the sherbet up there. That's the tough part. The big ball of orange sherbet. All right. Okay.
Or a spit bucket. Mm.
That's enough for Michelle. And here's the thing. If a guy's getting into this year one or still within the first year of the relationship.
Bad times.
Yeah, and women don't know how to interpret that. I would interpret it as bored or devious or both.
My interpretation, I agree with you on the bored thing. It's one possibility. But the other is that it's an alcoholic who needs higher levels of arousal all the time.
Okay.
And they will keep needing more.
And I would say that things don't exist in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
People seem to have that, especially women. They're like, he works hard, he takes care of me, he's respectful, he's great to my he's great to his stepkids, he's a wonderful stepfather, he wants to put a pony keg in my ass, but he takes the kids to soccer practice. Bup, bup, bup.
Shouldn't I reward him?
That one thing is a deal breaker.
But see, they think of it as I should be rewarding him. No. The fact that he wants to do it is the reason you should not only not reward him, you should not have a relationship with him anymore.
But I'm saying, and I don't think you're getting my point, which is that one, you think, you act like, well, 9 out of 10 things.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but the 10th thing is one to put a keg in my ass. It's all nullified.
Right. You can read volumes in that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything else.
It's as if he does all these things, but he beats you.
The reality is the ruse is everything else. The real guy is the one with the pony keg.
Focus on him.
Focus on the outrageous stuff. That's going to expand as time goes along.
Into a full-size cake.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that's a deal breaker, folks.
Yes.
All right, Josh Cook. Yes, Josh.
Oh, I was just wondering, that kind of alcoholic, but you were saying it's alcoholic behavior. Is that a fairly normal thing? I mean, there are many cases. Yeah, for alcoholics.
Keys to their alcohol?
I've just never heard of them.
It happens, but it's not. That's not the issue so much as him needing these highly arousing experiences. That's part of a progression of alcoholism. So
Thrill-seeking.
Thrill-seeking, exactly.
Yeah. And true, you will absorb it faster that way?
You can't really control it. Not necessarily faster, but you can put in more. You can only drink so much, you vomit.
Right.
The keister, you can just keep pouring it in.
See, my friends are taking notes right now. That's the sad thing.
Yeah.
It's
like the bottomless salad bowl, the keister.
Bottomless.
You can just keep going with it. But if you did it, like I go, all right, well, I drink a glass of red wine. Takes me 15 minutes.
Right.
I'll slowly pour. Couldn't I do it? True, if I was sitting and holding the funnel.
Snifter it.
Let it breathe.
A little bit. Light it.
All right.
So to speak.
All right. Josh Cook here tonight from Committed, NBC, 9:30, Tuesday night. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah, everybody. All right. Let's just reel it in for a minute. You know what I'm saying? Take it down.
We got some calls. We
take
got
it down
a bunch of calls.
Yeah. All right. Josh Cook here tonight from Committed. 9:30, NBC, Tuesday nights. Josh is, I'm going to call him the star of it. I'm going to go ahead and call Josh the star of the entire show.
I think you should.
Makes me feel really special.
Yeah.
I like
yeah,
it.
He's Thank not the you. Nosy neighbor. He's not the divorced boss who's trying to get with the ladies. He's the star, everybody. Yeah. See, we're not used to that on this show.
We don't talk to stars.
We're used to the friend of the nosy neighbor.
Right.
Who's just a voice.
Well, the head of the fan club for
we,
the friend of the
We definitely
nosy
need
neighbor.
A Mr. Roper, I think, though, at some point, you know?
Drew's your man.
All right.
He, was, yeah, like, he drove that movie New York Minute right into the ground.
Oh, I almost saved it.
Yeah. Remington?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yes, I am.
What kind of name is your dad, a gun nut? Or are you just nah, pretentious, or nah, what is that Remington name?
My mother, she asked my auntie and my grandmother to name me. That's what they came up with. So me, my brother, and my mother, all our names begin with R.
So, yeah, you know, I know a few of those families. I got my buddy Ray's got a Ronnie and a Rich and a Ron, and I started making fun of Jimmy about those names, and then I realized he's one of those guys too.
Oh no.
Yeah. He's got a John. His sister's like a Joan. I mean, everyone's a J in his thing. It's a common thing. It's a weird thing.
I know.
Thing.
What makes parents do that?
I don't know, because you don't have to. Yeah. It's like somebody telling you that you have to take this test to get into this college, but you don't have to take the test. You just decide to take it anyway, and you might fail. All I'm saying is why do the J thing? I think it's a family thing in certain circles.
My sister's a Jesse, yeah.
You
Josh
got,
and Jesse.
You got that?
There you go. Yeah.
Now, that's almost an alliteration thing. It's when you got the three where it really goes nuts.
Yeah.
Or like my buddy Ray, there's four.
Mm.
And then by the time you get to the fourth name, it's like, we don't even like this name. It just starts with an R.
Remington, what's the question?
Oh, well, I've been listening to the show since I was in, like, seventh grade. And, I'm in my freshman year of college now. So, that's a long time. Well, my question was that... my girlfriend, she had the shot, and after her second shot, she started, like, to bleed a lot. Mm-hmm.
Right. This is the Depo-Provera shot. Oftentimes, women bleed throughout the entire month, 3 months, actually. And then, usually, the second shot, sometimes the third, they'll stop having their period altogether.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
you're hoping for that, huh?
Yeah.
Recently, we had a fight about, like, she wanted me to, well, she wanted to, you know, have sex during the bleeding. I just wanted to, ask Dr. Drew if it was safe or not.
It is quite safe, and you should proceed.
Nothing.
You just made his day.
Well, there is a slight increased risk to her. In that when there's sort of an opened track to the upper urogenital region, meaning through the cervix into the uterus.
He's worried about him, by the way.
I know. If you had an infection...
Remington worries about Remington.
Yeah, but for you, it means nothing, provided she doesn't have HIV or anything like that, which I'm sure she doesn't. For you, two healthy people, it means nothing.
All right, but hold on. I think he's sort of looking for a note from the doctor.
I know, and I ain't giving it to
him. He doesn't want to do it.
Listen, she's having her period 3 months. What's the matter with this guy? He's going to sit out 3 months?
I know. You just get oral for 3 months. Remington?
That's a good solution.
That's always my solution. Drew, oral. Go, buddy. Remington, you don't want to have sex with her when she's on her period, right?
No, it's not that. It's just that I wanted to make sure it was safe before I did, because I went on the internet to try to find some information about it, and the sites that I found didn't really talk about it. So
it's all fine, Remington. Believe me, if there were really serious health issues, you'd find all kinds of sites about it.
All right. You're okay, Remington. We're giving you the green light to go for the red light. All right? Enjoy.
All right.
Oh, wow. Skull, brother. Get in there. Get down. I would... that's tough. That's not my thing. Drew, you're a passionate man. You got to understand that others don't share your passion for
but
passion.
But there's also passion, and then some people are squeamish, which I...
You're not. Well, as a doctor, you spend a whole day, popping fistulas on people's anuses.
I did some of that today, in fact. But I'm doing a taking off man boobs on Friday morning.
You are?
Yeah, for Discovery Health. We're going to be
You're not doing it. You're going to be standing
assisting.
There.
Yeah, I'm just holding clamps, probably.
You're standing in a candy stripers outfit.
Yeah, but it'll be interesting to see what they do.
Licking a giant lollipop.
No, I'll be doing what I did all the way through third year medical school, is holding retractors, which is a lot of fun.
holding a thing, like a rib spreader or something.
Whatever. That's all you do is just stand and hold stuff.
Do you just get numb to that after a while? Just like the open wounds
immediately.
And, oh, yeah. God.
Really?
I can't watch them.
Well, because you have a job to do.
I couldn't do that, and I couldn't be the guy that drove the ambulance that scraped the guy off the pavement after the motorcycle crash.
I can't. That's what's weird. I in a controlled environment, whatever.
Yeah,
but out in the field, it's freaky.
Did you have to ride in an ambulance for a while?
No.
Did you ever doing that?
No. I'm no good. What can I do if I don't have all the equipment?
That's how you found out.
No, I just maybe avoided it.
Like, when you were starting out,
I would immediately snap into like an animal that's wounded. Like I'd just start reaching for my sidearm. Like we got to put him down. It's just a broken leg.
Let's kill him.
Put him down. What about her? She was on the back of the moped. She's fine. She's got to go too.
She'll be scarred for the rest of her life.
And she may talk.
And she's going to call the show.
So right. And you only get manslaughter when you convince the judge that he was dying anyway.
Well, there you go.
But I couldn't be the one who scraped the guy, if someone's in agony.
Yeah, I know.
Which is a person bellowing, like, my hands on that. You know, the ones that are just completely freaked out, they go into shock and start freaking out?
Yes. Just slap them.
Slap them?
Yeah.
Well, that's what the sidearm's for. Drew, can you dart? You could dart them at that point, couldn't you?
You'd inject them with something, sure.
You would?
Yeah.
But via down. Dart, not...
No, you actually get near him.
You're talking about a dart gun.
Mm. I'm talking about a blowgun.
I like that. That's a good method.
Katie?
No, not me. A guy in full-blown, like, native attire. Just
the ball into
comes
out,
like a big plate in there. I call him. He comes running out. Shoeless, ankle bracelet.
Understands one word.
Screaming.
Yeah. Shark teeth.
Natanka! Just that means he's going for the gun. Katie?
Hi.
You're 19?
Yes.
What's up?
What's going on?
I was having sex with my boyfriend early this morning, and the condom slipped off.
Oh, boy.
And I got Plan B, and I just wanted to know what exactly it's doing.
Mm-hmm. It's going to suppress ovulation. That is its predominant means whereby it works. In other words, if you've already ovulated, you're going to get pregnant.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah. It has a possibility of interfering with the fertilized egg implanting, but about the same probability as a birth control pill taken every day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very slight risk of it working. That means the predominant means clearly is by suppressing ovulation, so the sperm never gets to the egg, and which is also why it's not 100% effective. If you have ovulated, sperm gets there, you get pregnant, that's it.
So if you were going to drop an egg, this stops you from dropping
an egg. Exactly, and if you've already dropped the egg, that's that 10% or 20% that's going to get pregnant.
Right. So if an egg is already in the chamber, it's not going to happen. Or it's down the barrel.
You're getting
been fired.
You're getting pregnant.
I'm getting pregnant.
You are. So. And it's very safe. It's good medicine. There's tens of millions of prescriptions in Europe. Not a single adverse event.
Yeah, Drew, the jury's still out.
Yeah.
So if I am pregnant and I want to get an abortion this early, would it just be a pill?
Well, it could be. That's a whole different matter. Okay, that's a completely different thing. You first would have to prove that you're pregnant. There are pills and means, you know, non-surgical means of abortion. But, you know, we'd sort of encourage you to think about adoption if it's a possibility for you.
Yeah.
And, no.
All right. And by the way, God, does she hate kids. Let me say this. I'm against abortion because the same man that created the universe and the oceans.
Paul Bunyan.
And, yeah, my buddy Paul, he doesn't like this. He wouldn't have created the universe and that egg inside of you. Everything, really, if he didn't want
it. It's
true, Drew.
It's philosophically consistent and, you know, logic that is sort of difficult to refute is
go
that
ahead.
There is a potential life there, and it's going to be a human life, and we have certain obligations to protect that. And so, you know, people feel strongly.
All right. Well, check into the pill and then the pill.
But if you've taken it within the first 24 hours, the morning after pill is about 90% effective. Okay, Katie?
I did.
Good
but
job.
I feel like I have probably already ovulated. I'm mid-cycle. It would just make sense.
Yeah.
mid-cycle?
What did he ejaculate in you?
He ejaculated and the condom fell off inside of me. So
it spilled.
Yeah, it was all in there.
Thousand Island. What a mess.
She's not having a period. It's just...
Oh, she's not?
And I was supposed to be starting the pill coming up on, you know, whenever Sunday, as soon as my period started.
Wait a minute.
Ortho tricycline.
A new packet.
I've never been on the pill before.
Okay, a
I'm
new version.
I'm just going to start it. Yeah, and I just got Plan B today.
Excellent. Well, go try it. It'll work.
Good job. you're going about this the right way.
All right, let me ask a possibly offensive, religiously oriented question. I was thinking about
are you offensive? No way. Josh,
I know. I'm really mouth to the ground.
The great Martin Luther King. I was thinking about his birthday the other day, and I thought, well,
this isn't starting well.
Yeah,
he was a man of great faith, but he took a mistress or two on the side.
Great passion.
And you know my theory. You know my theory about this, which is, I don't believe these guys believe as much as they believe. Well, otherwise, it wouldn't do some of the things like, you know, when you hear about Clinton yakking about his spirituality or his meeting with clergy or something like that, and he's going to BJ from an intern. I think it's a little bit of lip service for the folks out there. Now, here's what I'm saying. I don't know how, and I don't know how you measure someone's religiosity, but I do know that I have friends that are, you know, vegetarians. Not good friends, because I can't stand those people, but there's friends of friends that are vegetarians.
Acquaintances. I definitely agree with
you. They don't go out to dinner with you, not order the veal, and then go home and polish off a burger.
Right.
You know, because they believe it.
Right.
That's not their thing. They wouldn't do it. They're right. Just, meat is murder. Have you ever seen the way these animals are treated? I will not do this.
And yet,
I won't.
You know that many of them do sort of make exceptions. Well, the fish are okay, and the eggs, they're okay.
They do a little bit of that, but if they agree that it's wrong to eat, they think it's wrong to eat red meat.
All the time.
And it doesn't matter how much they crave it or whatever's going on. They're not eating it at home. They're not eating it when you're not watching. They're not eating. They're just not doing it.
Here's one of the reasons that that's
what eating. About that way with religion?
Hang on one second.
How come they don't do that?
Because with the food and the meat and stuff, those tend to be people don't like meat. They're not
is that
craving
what it, is?
It, and so it's not that
really?
Big a deal.
You're
for the
saying
most
that?
Part.
That's
in
very
fact,
offensive,
in fact,
Drew.
The people, no, they're kind of aversive to it. They think of the animal and they go, oh, I can't do it.
Yeah, but they're doing their part.
When it comes to sex and mistresses and that kind of thing.
Yeah. So you're saying if
there's a drive there.
The desire is there.
If the vegetarian liked meat, then he would do it.
If they were driven to it the way men are driven with sex,
yeah.
Maybe then they would be eating burgers.
I understand if you, you know, if you sell insurance and go to church on Sunday, maybe you have a sort of, but if you're out preaching the gospel.
Think about it. You'd be more like, let's say you're a vegetarian. Mm-hmm. You don't want other people killing animals. You mm-hmm. want to set an example, but you crave meat.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do it at home alone.
Mm-hmm.
But out in public, you're going to preach because you want to make sure everyone else doesn't kill those animals.
But if you believe that...
You crave it, though.
But you're going to hell.
No, well, that's a different thing.
For eating meat.
Well, what about that? I mean, why do all these so-called believers take these incredible chances? I mean, if I really did believe that someone was watching me and I had a personal relationship with and one day I was going to have to atone for and stand before in judgment and stuff like that, I wouldn't be banging other people.
People have an amazing way of justifying their behavior.
Don't you think also there's some kind of
I don't think
adrenaline
they believe it.
High that they get from being in a position of power, possibly?
Oh, yeah. I have this theory that religious people do not believe it as much as they would like you to believe they believe it, because if they did, they wouldn't engage in the behavior that, according to them, is going to send them to hell. I mean, do the math. You know what I'm saying? And I also believe that's why they get angry when you start making jokes about your buddy creating the universe. They freak on you because they're insecure about it. I believe that most religious people are very insecure about their actual beliefs. There's a little kernel of truth. Here's a heavy thought. In just about every human being, there's that part of your brain that needs religion because you're freaked out about dying and you're freaked out when loved ones, when horrible, random, violent things happen to loved ones. Yeah. There's also got to be a little kernel that doesn't believe it. And even in the most religious man, there's got to be that kernel that realizes, I could be wrong. This could be nonsense. I haven't really seen any proof. We've been talking about it for a long time. Then the tsunami hits. Oh, I got to work my way. I got to wrap my brain around this. There's got to be a kernel in all of them. And I think if you flick that kernel, they freak on you. Yes?
They certainly are defensive.
All right. I'm just saying, you're that religious. Why are you engaging in this stuff? Yeah? All right.
Because they're weak. They're sinful.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. All right. Anyway.
They have the desire.
Listen, it all makes perfect sense. Then who? That's my greatest argument. Who created the universe then, huh? Your God? Well, maybe Allah.
And by the way, if this is the most perfect universe, he sure wasn't some faulty God that made a big mistake and this is what the universe he threw aside?
No, listen, Drew. You can't question. He knows what he's doing. He's got a plan for you, too. Shut up. That's his plan. While I hit you. Hold still so I can hit you with lightning. Josh Cook here tonight from Committed NBC, 9:30 Tuesday nights. Take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Josh Cook here tonight from Committed, 9:30 on NBC Tuesday nights.
I love the clapping.
I felt bad. I was making fun of Ty Pennington last night, and it turns out he had appendicitis.
Oh, no. Is he all right?
Yeah. Got his appendix taken out. I made this joke, though. I said, the good thing is he already had his shirt off before he went into the hospital. So, you know, anyone has seen, you know, Extreme Home Makeover, no, Ty's shirt is rarely on.
And, a little ridiculous with that.
It's a doctor, though. It's a time saver, right? Sure. Guy comes in with the shirt off.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, whereas a guy like me, I'm layered.
Yeah.
Yeah, but 45, the thing burst while I'm still taking my third sweater off.
I got to cut through the talc, the paper mache and stuff.
Yeah, it's a mess. You got to get through the hair.
Oh,
yeah.
Humanity.
Yeah, all shaved with the shirt off already. Why? Nothing there. Yeah, nothing to get through. All right, what are we doing, Drew? I want to take a question for Josh.
All right, good.
Yeah?
I was thinking about that.
Russ over here?
Yeah.
All right. Russ?
Yeah?
You're 25?
Yes, I am.
I don't say this very often, but you have it, my friend.
Wow, really?
Yes.
That means a lot coming from you. I mean, you know, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you. Now, Russ,
you know, I'm a big fan of your work.
Virginity.
Yeah. Yes. And where are you? You're calling from Los Angeles, but where are you from originally?
I'm originally from back east.
Mm-hmm. Where? So you're one of those 5% a-holes that came out here.
Where yeah, back east?
This nice weather in January.
Didn't he say F this?
I think he dropped the
I think that was some definite profanity there.
The F-bomb.
You know. Yeah.
Well, I wonder why he's not getting along with things. Maybe you got to look into insight and judgment and skill.
It doesn't sound too bright to me. Is that too mean to say? I don't know.
No.
It sounds
mean.
A little dim.
No, but remember I was saying the a-holes?
Yeah, yeah.
In the rest of the world?
Yeah.
It's not even the rest of the country. It's the rest of the world, really, who comes here. Anyway, Russ wanted to know how Josh got his start in acting. Oh, see, this is the guy's gonna bring me my omelet. Mm-hmm. He owed.
Telling you to F off.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't know Denver omelets came with a snot rocket? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No, they got the minced ham, the onion, the bell pepper, and a nice snot rocket. That's what we put in there. Let me give everyone a tip on the omelets. Get them scrambled. Better.
You mean
better
not
that
folded
way.
Over.
Don't
to
get
scramble.
Them omelet size. Get the whole thing
mixed,
scrambled.
Mixed.
It's nice. It's mixed. Yeah. Yeah. No, don't give me
you
that
puss.
You're
stuffed in there?
No.
He mix it all up. So scrambled eggs with...
Hold on.
With
oh, I'm with you
kid.
Now. Okay. I don't understand what's happening. I'm not versed in the breakfast food or anything.
They do the omelet. Well, we're going out tomorrow. I'll get you caught up.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of forward.
Well, you sleep
know,
over, we wake
I mean,
up,
geez.
And we eat. That's how it works.
It's normal behavior?
No, everyone who comes on the show...
For him. Everyone sleeps with him.
Everyone who comes on the show sleeps over.
Yeah, I mean, he was talking about some kind of, you know, nautical-themed bar earlier. I'm just not sure what's happening.
That's a special room.
Yeah, you haven't earned the right to see that yet.
All right. I'm testing it. I'm sorry. Schwab the decks.
So here's the thing. The omelet...
There'll be some swabbing.
It gets a little... Oh. Yeah, a little belly. And whatever makes it to the floor. Usually not much. Here's the point. No, but I'm hairy.
And all of a sudden, we're back to a religious conversation.
True. Please, be quiet and let me explain the omelet to everybody. Everyone. You get the omelet. It's a little rubbery on the outside. And sometimes...
And too runny on the inside.
A little runny on the inside, especially if you get some onions and some bell pepper and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Tomatoes really make it.
Yes. Right. It's all snotty on the inside because the moisture comes out when you're cooking. A little rubbery, snotty.
Mix
you don't
it.
Need that. Scramble it all up.
You.
They'll gladly do it. It's better.
Do you make omelets? Is this
no,
what it is?
No, this is how I order them.
Are you one of those people in restaurants that says, listen, this is the way I want something. I want this way,
Adam, you've never been accused of that. This is a sentinel moment.
I just asked for them scrambled. And you know what?
I was just curious.
They know. Yeah. unlike your wife, who said, Jonas Salk over there with the salad dressing. She's in the lab, she's mixing up her own brand. Give me a break. How dare you attack me, Drew?
I didn't attack you. I just said it's a sentinel moment for
you. Do we have a lot of combos of salad dressing with your wife? Is that what's going on?
Here's how it works with Drew's wife. It's like, what kind of salad dressing do you have? We have a ranch, we have a Dijonnaise, we have creamy ranch, we have Italian, we have Roquefort, blue cheese, we have Thousand Island. Do you have zesty Italian? Yeah. Yeah, we have private reserve. They asked me not to talk about it.
She doesn't do that. She goes, bring the ranch, bring the bring the Italian.
Bring that.
And, bring it all.
Yeah, that's right. Bring the olive oil. I'm going to need some beakers and a Bunsen burner.
Yeah. She's very creative.
I don't need that, Drew. It's embarrassing. Plus, I get the residual snot that's going into her sound bounces off.
You're right. That's true.
Lands on my lasagna. All right. Now, where are we talking about? Get it scrambled. Scramble it. That's all I'm saying.
We'll do a quick Germany or Florida because we got one.
No,
minute.
I want to know. I want to know how Josh got into show business.
That sounds good. Right. Actually, the Germany or Florida.
Oh, that's
excited about that.
We have 30 seconds.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It was commercials. How about that?
It was.
What kind of commercials?
Oh man, what was it? Well, you know, the first commercial I ever did was for Lifestyles condoms.
Nice.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. That was before I came here, actually, though.
That's Trojan, right?
Damn.
Is that Lifestyles?
What?
Were you
Trojan Lifestyles?
Your Lifestyles? Were you on the top or the bottom?
Well, you know what's funny? I had long hair.
He's like, well, it's funny you should ask.
It is funny. No, because none of that at all. I had long hair and a ponytail back then. That was really exciting. And I was the bad guy from the wrong side of the tracks.
Yes. Oh, who wanted not to use the condom.
You know, all I know is I was seducing a preppy girl in a bar.
Wow.
Amazing.
We're going to go out to your car and get your reel during the break because I got to see this. Yeah. All right, let's take a little break. Josh Cook is here tonight from Committed, 9:30, NBC. Big time. No more condoms for Josh. No. He just pulls out now. He's big time. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Josh Cook is here tonight from Committed, NBC, 9:30, Tuesday nights. We had a question for Josh, but the guy dropped the F-bomb 10 seconds into it.
What are you doing?
So I had to tell another story about myself.
Unacceptable.
Let me just say this. We were talking during the break. We all went to the big bathroom and took a nice group whiz.
This is very feminine.
Josh was the only one who washed his hands, by the way. Drew and I were out of there.
That's a true story.
Yeah. Here's our new schedule. Drew walks two paces in front of me down the hall and then sneezes with his hands on his hip. Yeah, he coughs with his hands on his hip. So I just stand behind and my coffee cup becomes a Petri dish and I just collect all the germs and that's it. And I have to beg the doctor to put his goddamn hand over his mouth. And he's just like, you're like a crop duster for germs and I'm just some farmer standing out in a bean field.
You know what takes care of that?
Corn.
Bourbon.
Bourbon?
Kills it.
Really?
That's why I know he's going to go home and drink, so what do I worry about?
Done and done.
Just take it, what do you do?
Well, this time it really will be my medicine, you know. I call it that euphemistically, but tonight.
No, it really, it kills it.
I'm going to drink then. Well, here's my point. Thank God I carry a flask.
Yeah.
We were talking during the break about headphones, or as I call them, cans in the business. And Drew was telling me about the new noise-canceling ones from Bose and all that. Here's my deal, and I don't know if any of you are like me, but I got a pair that went south. My wife's got a pair that went south. I have at least two pairs that have gone south. What is it where the one ear starts getting bad and the wire gets a little weird and it's too thin? And you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
It's usually the ones you go use for jogging or whatever, but somehow that connection in headphones where it plugs into whatever, iPod or whatever it is, pulls out a couple times, gets bent a couple times, then it starts with that little fuzz thing when you move around, but you pretty much, it's never on the headphones themselves. It's always where the cord plugs into the jack that does, and if you start jiggling it around, but eventually it stops and it doesn't work, and it's one ear and it's never severed. There doesn't seem like anything you can do about it. I want a place where you can take just the cord and have them fix that cord, because most people toss a pair of $200 headphones.
No, they're probably built that way.
Really?
I want you to buy more.
Yeah.
But where do you take it?
No, I know that's what it is. I bought for Christmas. I'm so romantic. I bought my wife like these Sennheiser, $180 noise canceling things with the battery in it. Yep. It's actually got a battery hit. It's got some bass and stuff. Yep. She used it for 3 months. It was the greatest thing she'd ever. And then it started a thing.
Well, here's what happened.
She threw them out. She threw them out. And I was like, what are you throwing them out for? We can fix them. She goes, you can fix them. I'm like, no, nobody can fix it. You're right.
None of them have this, the coil. They all have the straight wire. And so when you stand up, now it's pulling out.
Mine then went out 2 weeks later, and I haven't thrown it out because I can't throw out $180 worth of thing, but they're no good to anybody. How do you do it?
Where do you get them fixed?
Where do you get them fixed? Where do you do that?
I don't know.
Does a company, individual company, some place you can think about, like Bose or something?
You got to go to
the Bose store.
There used to be TV fix-it shops.
Yeah, and that's where you electronic fix-it places. Yeah, Josh's like, what?
Huh?
What?
Yeah, you used to take things.
Yes, you used to take your electronics to an appliance repair store.
Oh, yeah.
And it would always say TV out in front of it because that was a big thing to repair.
Right. You got to get some tubes. Yeah. Now, and by the way, it's what a conspiracy that they've all convinced us. Just throw it out by now. Well, it ain't worth it.
In 6 months, it's going to be no good anyway.
No, but
that's sort of the mentality.
No, you would still use your Bose headphones.
I'm just saying that now Bose has the Bose 2 out, and you know what? They are a lot better.
You would enjoy your Bose 1.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is we have bought.
But the Bose 2 is better.
So much better.
Well, then throw it out now and wait for the Bose 3, jackass. Okay.
And you know what? They got Bose up to 16 planned at it. You know, it's already
really. It's all in the.
Let's take calls.
No, this is a conspiracy. Now we're getting into conspiracy theories.
Here's all I'm saying. How come we've bought that line where you got to throw everything out when it breaks?
You're right.
That's no good. VCR, throw it out. Get a new one. A TV, get a new one.
Because we've gotten the idea that the hardware is worthless. The cell phone, no good. They're going to be, all of the stuff's going to be washing up on the beach one day.
I just want to find the guy who can make that thing go away the headphones.
Think of that evolution. I mean, if that hardware had been available to us 30 years ago, we'd be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
This is some of the magical boxes these people have. Now we're like, the hardware, it's no good.
And believe me, the throwaway stuff with the Corollas doesn't go over well.
No,
like my family has the thing the TV dinners come in and stuff. They're stacking them up like maniacs.
The foil trays.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be worth something one day. Yeah. And Drew, the Bose headphones you got me never worked right. They worked like once and then one of the cups went out. Yes.
Oh, no.
What do I do?
I have to throw them away and get another one.
All right. All right. If anyone wants to come by my house tomorrow, there's going to be some plasma screens, big pyramid of VCRs and plasma screens,
sort of half works,
high def stuff, just stuff that never worked.
I will be there.
Be 30, I'll take that 30 stuff. Grand worth of high end equipment in front of the house. I'm chucking
from aggravation.
Amy,
hi.
You're 19.
Yeah.
What's up, baby? You depressed?
No, I was knocking out, but that's cool.
She's tired.
This one's aimed at Dr. Drew.
Aiming at me. Okay.
Huh?
All right, here we go.
Okay. I got the double shot, and my period turned brown.
Yeah.
And then, when I stopped bleeding, I started having sex with my boyfriend again. But we've been kind of having rough sex lately. So the brownness kind of came back, but it wasn't, like, seeping through. It only comes out when I urinate. So I wanted to know if that could still be my period or if that's from irritation. And if it was from irritation, I wanted to know if that can cause a yeast infection.
Okay, well, slow down.
Whoa.
This was your first depo shot?
Yeah.
They didn't tell you that you'd have bleeding like this the whole time?
No, yeah, they told me I could have bleeding throughout
That's what this is. This
brown is just dried, right?
It's just old blood, just thicker, older blood. Mm-hmm. And yes, any sex can stimulate further bleeding.
Okay.
So you have an unstable endometrium. It bleeds the whole month. Sexual behavior, even arousal, but especially intercourse, will cause more bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Rough or not, it will cause more bleeding. Rough probably could cause more, but you're not hurting anything.
Mm.
Could it cause a yeast infection? No. The Depo Provera can cause a yeast infection. Having sex can cause a yeast infection. But almost anything can cause a yeast infection. So if you're having what you believe to be a yeast infection, go ahead and try some over-the-counter medication. Creams for that.
Creams?
Vaginal creams.
Oh, you got to get them in there.
You got to put them in there.
Wow, so my blowgun comes in again.
Yeah, except you don't have to actually blow it in.
I do.
It's like the painting thing. All right, you got all that, Amy?
Airless sprayer.
Yeah.
Nice. You need a squirt gun?
Yeah.
Amy? All right, there you go. But congratulations on the rough sex. That's nice. Do you want the rough sex or is that your boyfriend?
Both ways.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by rough?
Basically, I'll get irritated after a while, but I'll still want to have sex, so we will.
Mm-hmm. But what do you mean by rough?
Like rough thrusting.
Mm-hmm. Vigorous.
Yes.
Remember those days, Drew?
Yes, no. I have bruises on my thighs. That helps.
You have what?
Bruises?
Yeah, I have bruises on my thighs.
That's nice.
You really like that?
Yeah.
Or is it just that he likes that and you like pleasing him?
Oh, no, I like it.
Okay. Any abuse in the past?
Oh, no.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I mean, like, you would consider it abuse, no? Because, I mean, like, I got hit as a child.
All right. Well, that's where we're going. Because people that
sounds like abuse.
Yeah, people that need a lot of stimulation sexually often have some physical abuse in the past. So,
Who hit you?
My dad.
All right.
They were good times.
What is that?
It's so sad.
Okay.
That's the commonplace nowadays.
Routine.
Like, oh, my dad.
Yeah. You know, it's just normal.
Well, everybody gets beaten, right?
It's terrible.
Yeah, and most
it affects your brain development. That's what
I would think so. That's messed up. Somebody you're supposed to just trust is smacking
that's
you around.
Exactly right.
Most people, by the way,
Josh, a little bit healthy here. Kind of concerned.
Yeah, frightened.
Yeah, we need. You know, it's just the people.
What we were saying earlier,
people have too many babies coming out from people who shouldn't be having babies.
that's it.
I mean,
that's the whole deal.
It's not.
That's
end
it.
The show now. That's it. We always say no more.
Well,
that's it.
You can flip over all the cards because Josh got the secret password.
He did.
That's what it is. Too many screwed up people cranking out screwed up kids. It's a pretty easy math equation that nobody seems to want to speak of.
If you want to see it, just go to Vegas and you go to like one of the cheaper, crappier hotels, you know, mm-hmm. and you go in there and you see the families there with the little children and they're dragging behind the casinos and they're getting, hey, you know, keep up, smacking them in the head, bringing them with.
Right.
So what's, first of all, you're in Vegas with your kids.
Yeah. Right.
Second of all, you're smacking them in public, so you don't care.
Yeah. Like, imagine what they do in private.
Yeah, exactly.
They think it's okay. They think it's fine. It's just how you treat your kids.
Look at me.
I'm fine. And my dad treated me this way.
Oh, they do a lot of, I turned out great.
Yeah.
Really?
Really.
I feel so happy.
No, it's...
my life is flowers.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Why, if we could straighten that out, we'd have the world by the tail. That would be it. No more crime.
You know, that's like the book that I wrote that you haven't read was basically about that.
How dare you say I haven't read it?
It was basically about that. I'm surprised more people weren't sort of interested in Cracked.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised you sold two. Come
sold
on.
50,000, relax.
50,000. Yeah. Right.
But Jenna Jameson and...
She read it.
Jenna Jameson sold 3 million copies.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's.
Jenny McCarthy, a million copies.
If you had either of them on the cover, you know.
Yeah, that's what
that might. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, how many albums did Ashley Simpson sell last year, and how many did Elvis Costello sell?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just do the crap, man.
Thank you so much for saying that.
These are the idiots, though. These are the people we're bringing into the world who are turning into these consumers. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We just got a lot of idiots. Let's face it. No accounting for bad taste.
You
know,
true? Hey, pop music charts.
Yeah.
Take it near Germany or Florida, line 3.
Germany or Florida. This is going to be exciting.
I'm excited to be a part of this, I have to say.
Andrew?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. An elderly woman was mistakenly sent to a city morgue only to die a few days later from the cold. Police are now investigating the doctor who pronounced the 72-year-old lady dead before she was sent to the morgue. The woman fell down in an old people's home and lost consciousness early last month. The color of her skin led the doctor to believe that she was dead.
Mm-hmm.
By the color of the skin.
How did they find... I understand. Yeah. How did they find out?
You don't judge a woman by the color of her skin.
That's
exactly right. By the character.
It's a mirror in front of the mouth.
I want to know is how did they know she wasn't dead and then left her there for 2 days to die? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How did they figure out that she was alive for those 2 days before she died?
Yeah. Yeah, how do they know when? I mean, they do an autopsy. Maybe they realize she died 10 minutes ago, not 3 days ago. Yes? Possible?
It doesn't seem like people who aren't checking pulses are doing really good autopsy reports. I don't know. Yeah. I could be wrong.
Yeah, anyway.
It sounds fishy. Sounds fishy.
Yeah.
Josh, what do you think? Germany or Florida?
I'm gonna go Germany.
I can't see where this could happen in Florida. It doesn't even fit with...
We're all wrong last night.
What are you talking about? Like, look at 2000, right?
Yeah, the election.
I mean, please. Anything can happen down there.
It's happened.
What do you think, Drew?
Germany.
Germany? Wow, I went Germany. I know.
The same kind of thinking led me down the wrong path last night. So.
But what? Led to World War II? Forget about the wrong path. Nobody standing up and saying anything.
Well, it's
you know what
chance.
I'm saying?
This is it.
I'm going Germany, too. I'm going Germany, too. All right. Andrew, we're all in on Germany.
And
is it Germany or Florida?
You're all right.
Yeah.
Phew.
Hold on. Nothing changes. Yeah! Yeah! Hell yeah! It's been a long time, Drew.
I know.
Long time. I really had to get that off my chest. And I know you guys think I just went Germany because you two went Germany, but...
No. I could tell you felt Germany.
Well, I went because of one of you went.
Oh, okay.
I got to be honest.
Line 2.
Okay. I'm not going to say which one, Josh, but it was Josh. Mikey?
Hey.
He's trying to buddy you up for tonight.
And for tomorrow morning.
He's flirting.
With the scrambled omelets, quote unquote. Yeah.
You'll never go back to omelets
again.
That's
a freaking code name.
I'm
going to
scramble your omelet. We can toss that salad, scramble that omelet.
There we go.
Mikey?
Hey, how you doing?
23, what's up?
Hey, so I'm diabetic, and I've been having some problems getting it up. So I was wondering, what are my options? What can I do about it?
Well, did you have several episodes of diabetic ketoacidosis when you were younger?
Yes, I recently had those.
Yeah, so you've not been attending to your diabetes very well, right?
No, not recently. It's been getting better lately. My average is down to about 150 now.
All right, but that is your number one goal, is to make sure you have extremely tight, what's called glycemic control.
You don't do that with
his insulin. You got to adjust his insulin, check his sugar regularly, and maintain a proper diabetic diet.
What about
diet
those testers I see on the commercials?
He's
like testing himself.
If I had diabetes, I would take Humalog for each meal, and I'd use like a long acting NPH or something twice a day.
What's Humalog?
I'm on Lantus right now. It's a 24-hour.
Lantus is very long acting, but you should also have something. Are you on Actos or something also?
A which?
Actos? Avandia?
No.
But you should be on something to cover your meals also, and you should be checking.
Humalog.
Humalog, that's what I said.
All
right.
Well, look, the diabetes has affected his brain, Drew.
No, yeah, but the fact is that the high blood sugar affects the blood supply, affects the tiny vessels that nourish your nerves, and the more sensitive nerves are down in the genital area, and they get damaged, and you get erectile problems very easily as a diabetic. In fact, medications like Viagra are really designed for you. So that's what you got to try. You got Cialis, Viagra, or Levitra.
What's Viagra?
What's the use of Viagra going on there? What's that all about?
He can't get
from that. Okay.
The erection,
and that, not for the,
and that
not,
won't me- and that won't mess anything up. On anything
this is what the Viagra's designed for. This and that's
really?
This is what it's for. It's for the people with heart disease and diabetes that have biological erectile dysfunction.
God, I have absolutely no idea about that.
What?
Oh, that's interesting.
Don't play stupid. You're
no,
on
I have
right
no
now.
Idea. I don't know anything. I own a Viagra.
And crush them up. Put
it
in your omelet
right
tomorrow. We'll be on it. True.
It's been 4 days. I'm worried.
What are those things where they show them testing and the little paper comes out and stuff? I see the commercials.
Yeah, they pick their finger and they get blood and they put it on a tester and they...
Yeah, but no. I mean, I'm telling the ones where it's like it's all mechanized and everything. They don't prick
blood.
Their finger and do it. I think it all...
It's like a finger cap.
Yeah, they put their finger
right?
in
the
thing.
One now.
Yeah.
Come on,
most
buddy.
Of the good ones are where you check your blood.
Oh, well, you're just draining your own blood out of... No.
They do the thing.
You put your finger in the thing, little paper comes out.
The paper's
out. What's the paper for?
Just you have a written
little readout,
record, yeah,
and that tells you what
your blood sugar.
It's not a stock ticker.
No, blood sugar. Yeah. How the company's doing that creates the instrument.
Did anyone ever read one of those stock tickers? And it would just always come pouring out. People be staring at it. Hey, anyone ever read one of those?
That's all they had in the old days. There was no.
I know. I still don't think anyone read one. I think they just came out. Like any movie involving a stock ticker, it always played like the gambling scenes where it's a lot of smoking guys holding bills up over their head. And it's like, and then one guy lands a punch on the other guy, and more action changes. You know the gambling scenes. Like, no one writes anything down.
Right.
Nobody's clear who owes what. It plays like a movie scene. Like it's a scene from a movie. It's never, you gamble, you pick a fighter, you pick a football team or somebody writes it down. They want to know. You don't change like the other team scores and now there's more action. What? No, you took the Raiders.
Right.
You can't change. Right. And the guy is holding all the money and smoking cigars, like seems to know what everyone's doing. And there's never any, oh no, I definitely bet on, no, I bet on the Mexican dude. What do you mean? No, you owe me. Wouldn't that just happen at the end? Big argument?
Yes.
No, come on. I'm just saying it more real. Same with the stock ticker. Just flying, people yelling, buy and sell.
Yeah.
But Drew, so you get this thing, you put your finger in it, it tests your blood, and it tells you where you're at.
Yeah.
And you should do it every day.
Oh, you should do it three or four times a day.
At least twice a day. Really?
You said with meals?
You adjust your insulin and your diet. You depends on your calorie intake and you know what you're going to eat and that kind of thing.
But can't you eventually just work it out? Like, look, I eat my scrambled omelet in the morning.
Yes,
I eat that. I eat the same thing. It's consistent.
That's the best way to do it. And then you should still check, because all kinds of things can send your blood sugar reeling. Stress changes your sleep pattern.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
And so they may, it's much better if they're on a very regimented pattern, but you still have to kind of keep an eye on it, because they can start getting low too, and they can become unconscious and go into insulin coma.
Yeah, that's when you hump them.
That's when
you get to them, yeah. That's when I move in. Finish the rest of the scrambled omelet, and then I'm right on top of them.
There you go.
And the pills. You take a pill each time?
I was asking about
injections.
No, it's mostly guys like this that are childhood diabetics. It's almost exclusively insulin, but there's some pills now that help
your
body.
You have to inject yourself with insulin. Yeah. No other way to take it.
Not right now. And some of these guys, there's a couple of medicines out there that help the body utilize insulin. Like it's called Avandia or Actos.
Avandia,
and we use those for the type 2 diabetics routinely. Those are the ones that get it later in life where they're resistant to insulin effects.
You know what Avandia sounds like? Hmm. Once in a while, they make one of those kooky movies where like Richard Dreyfuss is the czar of a fictitious Eastern Bloc. He's the czar of Avandia. You have to make up a fake country. Mm-hmm. Avandia works at that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I agree.
All right.
I like where your mind goes.
Thanks, brother.
Zach, 14.
Always a little distracting.
Whoops,
can't just
Zach.
Pick a real country.
I know.
I feel that way. You know what I feel? I feel that way in those like shows like what was it like? Not Melrose Place, but 90210 when they would go to college.
Oh,
couldn't
right.
they go to UCLA?
Right.
They have to go to California College. Right. It has to be a distraction.
Right. And they're at UCLA.
And they're at UCLA.
At UCLA.
Yeah, hey, that's Royce Hall over there. No, it's not. It's California College. No, I can see the big blue and gold. No. Just cut a deal with a college. Have them go to a college. There's 500,000 colleges.
That's what
just
I understand.
Go to
why
one
they
don't of
cut
them.
A deal with the colleges. They pay to have the advertising, I would think.
Oh, it's distracting when they have a fictitious sports team. It's distracting when they have a made-up country. And it's the height of distraction when they have a made-up university.
Yes. This bothers your suspension of disbelief.
Why didn't you make up the you went to Beverly Hills High.
Yeah.
You didn't make that up.
Go to Cal State Fullerton, you idiots. Please. Then you got a whole team built in. You got a letterman jacket. You don't have to make anything up custom. Why not? Just do it. Give the school a little taste. They're cool. It's fine. I think the school's freaked out because of the date rape episode.
No, I bet the schools are paying.
See what
for
I'm
that.
Saying? No, not they don't pay for the date rape episode.
Good publicity.
Any publicity?
Spell the name right, Adam. Just spell the name.
All right. Zach.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's going on, buddy?
Cal Poly San Luis Obispo.
14.
You're 14. What's up?
I have a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of training does it take to be what you do, to be an addiction specialist?
You go to medical school, and then you either do an internal medicine or a psychiatric residency, and then you do a fellowship in addiction.
Yeah, and your daddy's got to know the dean, you know? Yeah.
If Adam were to go, it would have to be that way.
Yeah.
But it takes about, that's about, including college, it's about 14 years.
14 years of what? From when to when?
4 years of college, 4 years of medical
senior,
school.
From the time you graduate high school.
Yeah.
Add it up.
4 years of college.
4 years of college.
4 years of medical school.
4 years of medical school.
4 years of residency.
4 years of residency. And that's 18 years.
And then what is that now, 13?
That's 12.
12. And then 1 year of fellowship, 13 years.
So that's 19.
13.
Both my parents are in the medical school, but I can't do what they do.
What's that?
Both my parents are in the medical field right now.
Yeah.
They are.
And Adam, you were saying you can't scrape bodies off the pavement?
Yeah, I can't do that, no.
Yeah, that's what my dad does. He's a helicopter nurse for Reach Air Medical.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's got to be
heavy.
Rough.
Calling the chopper in is sort of the equivalent to in the football game when the lineman goes down and they do the cart move, the steering wheel move.
Yeah.
When you see that cart move, we got a compound fracture. No one's going to help them off the field. We're getting a cart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. When they call for the helicopter, that's a bad sign. Mm-hmm. And by the way, being the nurse in the helicopter's rough because I imagine a skirt would blow up over his head with chopper blades and everything, and a little pinned hat would come flying off.
All right.
Because nurse sounds like a girl.
That's a girl job.
Is it hot in here?
What's your mom, lumberjack?
No, my mom's actually a nurse, too.
Oh, okay. Touche, my friend.
Zach, you're interested in the addiction field?
Huh?
You're interested in addiction?
Yes.
Seriously, I've been talking about this book tonight, but get cracked and read it. You'll see what my life is like with that and see if you really still want to do it.
Drew, like a chef, you must try all the drugs first become an extra.
Cracked, C-R-A-C-K-E-D, okay?
Okay.
Go read that.
All right, buddy. What are you, in the ninth grade?
Yeah, I'm a freshman.
Okay, and how are your grades?
They're pretty good. I got a 3.0 average.
3.0, that's
push
a D,
it up
right?
A bit. Push it up a bit there, Zach.
Push it up. That's as high as it gets.
What's that?
I'm like one of the best schools in the United States, top 100 schools.
Okay.
Wow. All right, Zach. But
still,
I'll tell you.
Still in the top. You got to get at least a B+ in those schools to get in the right colleges and position yourself in medical
school. Keep pushing.
What would you recommend for Northern California?
For college?
Yeah.
How about California University?
Stanford or Berkeley?
Yeah. Let me say this true, Drew. I'm no college student, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
I do know that if you really got to hit the books, you got to go to one of those places that lends you the books, with the house with the
library.
No, I think it's got the word book in it. I'm pretty sure it's got, but it's a big place, and they got books.
Let's use Spanish translation of library. We'll use biblioteca, because then biblio is right there in the name.
See, this is what messes up, because now it sounds religious. Now it's all religious text.
Book tech. Oh, that's called book tech. The Mexicans got a certain way of cutting through the fog.
Yeah,
and
they're clear thinkers.
Well, it's kind of a country that has to be laid out like a preschool toy, you know. Otherwise, people are going to get confused and hurt themselves. It's
clear.
Just lay it all
clear,
out. Yeah. Big buttons, clearly marked. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't mean that.
No, that's what you want. I understand.
I'm saying no. Yeah, Josh Cook here tonight. It's true. They just don't want anyone, you know, taking an eye out on anything sharp over there. That's all. Take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline, Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Josh Cook is here tonight from Committed on NBC, 9:30 Tuesday nights. Josh, you know what I like about Josh? Regular Joe. Good people.
Thank you.
Not one of these pretentious actors. Oh, we'll see a season 3 like a Coke spoon hanging off your nose, and you'll be doing that talk to the hand stuff.
Go over wearing a bathrobe, that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah.
Which I sort of do sometimes anyway, so it's all
right. Yeah, and we won't have you on the show. And it'll be one of these things, too, where I'll be like, Producer Ann, did you talk to Josh?
He's a buddy.
He's a cool guy. Yeah. And he'd be like, his publicist said the show's, it didn't agree with Josh's sensibilities. And then I'll get angry and say, they never even spoke to Josh, but we'll never know the answer, will we, Drew?
But then one day I'll show up, bang on the door, but let me in.
No, Josh.
Please.
You'd be amazed how often this happens. Adam's like,
really?
I just had lunch with him yesterday. He wanted to come on the show. No. His publicist says, no, this is.
He was upset
last time you talked about Martin Luther King and spoke disparagingly about him, and he couldn't come back.
Because he is my dad.
All right, let's keep going here.
Here we go.
I didn't say anything disparaging about the great Dr. King. I was just curious.
I beg your pardon.
He spoke
disparaging about God.
Yes, that's all. Rebecca?
He's not my dad.
Yes?
You're 17?
I am.
What's up?
Okay, I was just wondering about pre-cum. I just lost
my virginity. Thinking about that.
I missed that. What about what?
It's a syndrome that strikes 2 out of every 5 teenage boys. It's the heartbreak of pre-cum. It's rough.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so we didn't use birth control or any sort of contraceptive.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just curious, what's the probability of that?
Well, Drew, it is not as laden with semen or with sperm as semen would be, right?
As a big
But is it just about mass, or is there something else going on?
No, some people
or volume.
Some studies have shown that little bit, that the tip, can be more highly concentrated in sperm. Actually, than
really.
But you know, look, all that has to happen is a sperm gets introduced into the vagina and finds its way up to the uterus. That's it.
That is bad news.
Is that going to happen? Rebecca, I don't know, but every time a penis enters a vagina, that can happen.
Right.
Every time. So, I don't know. How will we calculate that probability?
Well, she wanted to know if that was so-called pre-cum had sperm in it.
Yes, and it could make her pregnant. No doubt.
Right.
Anytime a penis penetrates a vagina, there's the possibility of pregnancy.
Okay.
No matter when you are in your period, no matter who you are, where you are, unless you're through menopause, or
not having menstruated yet, you're going to get pregnant.
But better to have a little pre-cum on your period than it is in the middle of the cycle and a full load. Yes. Am I right?
Correct.
Thank you.
Okay.
Very pragmatic.
I have another question.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. I'm still kind of in pain, and I'm still kind of bleeding a little bit. Do you, how much longer is that going to last? Does that just depend from person to person?
Where's the pain?
Well, it's not, it's just like really sensitive, and it's like I can, it feels kind of like a cramp on my period, but it's
this is mid-cycle bleeding. Having sex can stimulate bleeding.
Okay.
So it's your period, basically.
Okay. All right. So what should she do?
Nothing.
No.
Well, morning after pill, if it was in the last 72 hours.
Well, it wasn't.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
So you're just stimulating.
You're fine, but you get on some birth control. Is this your boyfriend?
It's a really bad situation, actually.
Okay.
Why? Yeah, why?
What's going on?
Oh, it's my boss.
Oh, very nice.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Manager of a restaurant.
You work at a restaurant?
No.
Where do you work? What kind of place?
I'd rather not say.
What kind of place?
It's a bank.
Mm-hmm. And how old is this guy?
Nice.
He's 31.
Oh, for God's sakes. Ooh, Rebecca,
17.
Come on. Is he married?
Good Lord.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no.
Of course he's married. Of course he is.
And does he go like, listen, I got to make a deposit in the overnight slot. if you know what I'm saying? Wait in advance.
This guy's an ass.
Yeah.
Drew's angry.
This guy is an ass.
Drew is angry. I'm jealous. Drew's angry.
You're jealous.
You're jealous?
Well.
You're jealous he's angry?
I'm jealous of Drew's anger, but I do wish I was a better man like Drew so I could be jealous. I mean, angry yeah. So I am jealous in a way of
you're
being angry.
You're envious of me. You're jealous of her buddy.
That's right. I wish I could be like Drew, but I'm not. Now I'm angry and envious of this guy because, you know, he's a 30-year-old guy. He gets to have sex with a 17-year-old. Rebecca, no more of this.
You should report him to whoever the boss is.
Smith Barney.
You could own that bank.
Mr. Drysdale.
Hang on. So wait. So basically this just stimulated my period, or what is that?
Yes.
About?
Yes. Having sex can make people have their period, basically. Make them have mid-cycle bleeding.
Yeah.
Yes.
Stop having sex with your boss.
And God knows the other thing you can get is infections. You can get tubal pregnancies. And if the bleeding continues, the pain continues, you've got to get a pelvic exam.
Worries me. She's more worried about that than the situation.
Right. Yes, than this horrible guy.
The situation needs to stop.
Well,
but not only that, you need to report this.
I've been dealing with the situation for a while, so I'm kind of used to it.
You're 17.
For a while?
You shouldn't be dealing with it. You should be telling Mr. Drysdale, because this is...
That's right. Or Jane Hathaway.
Mrs. Hathaway's there already chirping away.
Oh, okay. All right. Listen. Hey, Rebecca.
Yeah.
Why? This guy's having sex with you, but he's not using a condom?
Well,
he's raping you. You're 17. You can't even have...
Right. You're raping my question, Drew.
But
don't
the point is,
quiet.
This guy's a criminal.
Yes,
he's misusing his power
and
authority as a boss. I mean, he definitely will lose his job, and he should be arrested.
Sounds like he's forcing it, too.
Oh, my God.
Well, just quiet. I want to know what's going on. Is he having intercourse with you?
Yes, one time. We did it one time.
One time, and he didn't use a condom.
No.
And are you planning on, is he planning on doing it again?
Not he, but we are, yes.
You're both planning on it. And do you think you're in love with him?
No, I know that for sure.
You know that for sure?
Mm-hmm.
So then what gives?
Yeah,
what's
why
up with it?
Why not, why have sex with him?
I have no idea.
Danger?
You're turned on.
Were you sexually abused growing up or something too?
I was not, actually. The only abuse that I had growing up was emotional. Does it?
Yeah.
Well, that's obvious.
That's it? She was raped by an ATM.
Dad must have been an a-hole. Her dad must have been an a-hole.
Drew, laugh.
I'm sorry?
You, buddy?
I'm too upset about this whole call.
All right, buddy. I'm jealous that Drew's upset. Rebecca, we hate your dad. He did a horrible job with you. Now,
my dad is a perfect dad. I love my dad. I have a great relationship with him.
So maybe one time you didn't.
Okay. Well, then respect him. Stop disrespecting him by hopping on some ancient guy who works at the bank. He's too old for you, and he's married. Well, I hate to say it, but in your eyes, ancient.
Yeah.
Okay?
Which makes us dead,
by the way.
She's the victim of a violent crime.
I didn't hear...
She's a rape.
I drew, your mouth is moving and nothing's coming out. You're dead. You're like anime. It's a Weekend at Bernie's. All right, stop it. All right. Now, look, here's what I want to say. You're not going to get these people to report anything or to do anything. All you can do is get them to stop, I believe.
Yeah, but I don't like the fact that these guys
Well, you're
are
jealous,
out there
Drew, and I'm jealous if you're
jealous. No,
I'm
not jealous. I'm angry that I think that when people in authority abuse and exploit like that, it unravels everything.
I totally agree. Michelle, give me some more coffee. Hurry, sweetie. Give you a little tap on the ass. Go, baby. What were you saying, Drew?
That she was a victim of a violent crime. That crime was rape.
Yeah, okay.
Violent crime.
Okay, but...
Go, come on, bite. So explain, Josh, about violent crime.
Oh, I don't want to. I'm too tired.
Wait, what's the violent crime situation you were talking about?
I'm too tired.
Come on, give it to him. He wants it.
I want to hear it. Just give it to me.
Okay.
I want it.
All I'm saying, Josh, is that rape is not a sexual crime. You understand? It's a violent crime where you come at the end. But not
sexual.
It's violent. It's brutally violent, you orgasm oftentimes on the victim. And let me say this, too. And don't laugh, because it's no different than... let's just say Drew was going out to his car tonight. I came leaping out of the bushes, and then beat the crap out of him. It is
same thing. And not sexual.
Violent, not sexual.
But you ejaculate.
But not sexual. Like many other things where you ejaculate that aren't sexual.
You see,
think of
the
hundreds of things you do... Every day.
Liquor store robbery.
Ejaculation. Not sexual.
This terrible image of Adam running around with like a stick. It's like ejaculating over anything he sees.
But not
sexual.
Not sexual.
Only violent.
Only violent.
He's not happy about it.
He's angry. He's
committing violent crime, but not sexual
crime. Not sexual.
He's just ejaculating.
Rape is a violent, non-sexual crime where you come at the end. Or sometimes in the middle. Whatever you're done. That's how you know you're done. But the point is, it is not sexual. You just orgasm.
Wait, clinically speaking,
it is
if you clinically define defining rape, what
violent.
Is the actual
violent crime where you ejaculate?
That's all.
In the person.
That's all.
Non-sexual violent crime, you ejaculate, it's preferably in the person. Or
no, we're just making fun.
Preferably, yeah. Damn, I missed.
We're I hit the blacktop once in a while. had to pay for the steam cleaner to get the high pressure hose out.
But
here's the point. We're just making fun of. I don't know when it started. Must have been about 20 years ago when everyone kept doing that. Correct, angry lesbians. You know, your Barbara Boxer types. Would be doing that. It is not a sexual crime.
Yeah, it's just violent.
It's violent.
Men acting on violence.
It's pretty sexual. The guys are busting a nut. I think it is a sexual crime. Yeah. By the way,
it includes violence, and it's a violent expression of sexuality.
Yeah, but
this is the most warped conversation I've ever been a part of.
Now it's horrifying.
Clarifying.
No, I enjoy it. No, I mean,
clarity.
I've been thinking about this for years.
Clarity.
I'm going to write about it in my diary.
Please.
All right.
And then,
yeah.
And then
perform violence on your diary. Sometimes the violence can be so violent that the pages stick together. Josh Cook here tonight, everyone, from Committed. Shame on you for laughing at this. Rape is not something you should make fun of.
That's
Josh.
True.
Violence.
Keep moving.
It's a violent truck.
Tuesday nights, don't ever forget that. 9:30. Drew loves that, by the way. 9:30. But Drew, what is the one?
That's it right there.
But the joke you don't like, the reoccurring joke you don't like that I make is the rape joke. It's the one where this week on Hack.
No, I don't like that one.
Drew doesn't like it.
Is it tasteless?
I get it, but it's like, it was okay first time. That's it. Some are evergreen.
It's funnier the third time you're here.
In order to reach these kids, Hack will have to become a rapist.
Yeah, see, now, Drew, shut your mic off. Just get lost. Go to the bathroom. Let me just tell Josh how the joke goes. It's this week on Hack. It's Will Arnett.
Will Arnett is awesome. He's a great guy.
All right, enough. You got the ace man, Freddie. Let's not worry about Will.
All right.
This week on Hack, in order to catch a counterfeiter, Hack is going to have to become a rapist.
You see, everything ends with rape. It doesn't matter. International terrorist ends with rape. Everything ends with rape. This is a twist. Because usually, your mind is already thinking he has to become a counterfeiter too. But no, that's the twist.
A rapist.
Yeah.
You could substitute it with, he's going to have to be violent and come at the end.
So, right.
And that would work just
that
as well.
That would work well, too.
It's too wordy. I shouldn't be an advertiser.
But Drew doesn't think that's funny.
Not with the same evergreen vitality that
all right.
the other one
does. That's a really pretty way of putting that. Yes.
All right. We'll take our... How about a twist?
How about
a twist? Like,
he becomes a violent criminal.
In order for Hack to infiltrate an international jewel thievery ring, he's going to have to go undercover as a rapist.
a little clearer for me.
All right.
Undercover as a rapist.
Wow.
Imitation.
Well,
he gets a lot of money doing that.
We'll take a... Not after that, actually.
Not after this.
He's fired him. We'll take a quick break. Josh Cook here tonight. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. Josh Cook here tonight from Committed and soon to be seen on Hack. 9:30, NBC, Tuesday nights. All right. Let's go now. Let's come on. Let's break it down.
Come on, Adam. Come on.
Let's help the kids. Can we help the kids?
Okay, I'll clap.
Yeah, let's just break it down and help some kids. You mind, Drew? You want to talk more about colleges?
Come on.
Christina?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I have no sex drive. I can't get horny. Nothing can, get me horny or anything like that.
Well, we're going to part ways then. Wait a second. I got nothing to talk to her about.
Well, let me talk. I might be able to speak with her. I know you're done with
it. I'm washing my hands.
Okay. Christina?
Yeah?
Have you previously had a decent sex drive?
No, I've been sexually abused, physically abused, emotionally abused, and abused just horribly bad when I was younger. And now I'm on the depot shot, and I'm also on Ritalin, Wellbutrin, Clonopin, Clonopin.
Yeah. Keep going.
Respidol and lithium.
Could it maybe be the medication?
The Depo-Provera. Yeah. Depo-Provera can
check
down.
Next time, tell us what you're not taking.
Well, she's actually on a bunch of medicines that don't tend to decrease the sex drive.
I'm severely bipolar.
But yeah, Klonopin is pretty heavy stuff,
Klonopin
right?
is a Valium-like drug, and that can shut you down a little bit. The Risperidol can shut you down. So there's a couple of medicines that are working against you, but you're saying you've never had a sex drive.
Before I was taking this medication, it's like I could get a little horny here, I could get a little horny there, but it's like I've never orgasmed, and it's like
David Al Greer song.
Never at all.
Here's the thing. First off, at 18, a lot of girls haven't found themselves.
That's right. They don't have a sex drive.
But then ones that have been horribly abused, like you've been abused, all bets are off.
Right. You can either have complete shutdown like you're having or go into periods where you feel hypersexual or fluctuate back and forth between those two extremes.
It's like me. I have no sex drive. And my younger sister, who's also been abused the same way, she's a sex freak. I mean, she's had 30, 40 different partners, and she's just 16.
Count your blessings, Christina. You've gone the right direction.
It really is.
That's sad.
And by the way, is your dad dead or in jail, hopefully?
My birth father, we had to go away before I was born because he was on heroin. And then my dad, who was raising us, who used to beat me and doesn't want to have anything to do with me because I'm not his real dad. And I have a stepdad who yells at me a lot and wants me out of the house.
Hmm. When did the sexual abuse start?
My other stepdad, he would sexually molest me.
How many stepdads have you had?
What's up with your mom choosing these
guys?
My mom's
married three times. But she's also been with two other guys that she wasn't married with.
Hmm. All right, so your mom was...
Mom needs to calm down.
And then my older sister used to beat me up where I'd have to go to the hospital.
Now, Josh, here's the disturbing part of all this. If we were to talk to Christina's mom, she'd be telling us what a great mom she is and how dedicated.
I believe it.
Now, the kids... Well, dad was a heroin addict. The kids never knew it.
You know what they do? You know what they do? They hide behind love. They're like, I love my child. Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Yeah, of course.
But still, you're letting a lot of horrible things happen to him. Well, your mom was probably abused.
Herself, no doubt.
She wasn't. She was raised on a farm.
Abuse farm, right, Drew?
Abuse farm.
But the earliest time, the closest thing that you can consider that she was abused is she got married when she was 18, and then she found out the guy was cheating on her. That's the closest thing to abuse.
No, not more after his abuse farm.
Yeah, Cedra.
I was looking for the David Allen Greer song, Anderson.
Like the occult farm. It's only a abuse farm. No,
hey, Christina, now listen, I'm serious. I don't want to bum your high, and I know it's weird when you start thinking about your mom this way, but she wouldn't have hooked up with these guys.
Yeah, if somebody... Grandpa weren't an alcoholic and a little abusive.
One of her first, like, actually, after she got married and she broke up with him because he cheated on her, she got this guy named Black Mike and raped her and had a child, and she had to give that child up.
Who would see that coming, Black Mike?
Wait, what happened? Someone named Black... What happened?
I don't want to hear anymore. I've heard enough.
Black Mike?
Like, yeah. And he stalked her, and he said that he was going to keep the child, and he was going to kill... He tried to kill all of us, me and my older sister. Wow.
Black Mike, is your mom bipolar also?
I think my mom's bipolar because
it sounds like it.
My older sister, my younger sister, and me.
All right, hold on a second.
That's the bipolar. Lord. Bipolar.
Oh, my God.
All right, and by the way, who knows what's going on versus what's going on? I'm sure it's all bad. Mm-hmm. Who knows about Black Mike? My mom dated a guy named Mexican Ron for a while. He was.
But he had brothers named Mexican Rico, Mexican Roger, Mexican.
There was no picnic. Let me tell you, no picnic drill. Mm. But nothing like this.
No, nothing.
Obviously, I can't compare Mexican Ron to Black Mike.
No.
Hey, Christina.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You need therapy.
Yeah. Well, the thing is I've been in every single type of therapy that has been working. And when I say every single type of therapy, I've been to,
Okay, quiet. We don't need to hear them all. Here's the point.
But you're on medicine. You sound relatively stable right now. Stay with it. Stick
with it. All right. Now, you having no sex drive.
It's a God blessing you.
You and society has dodged a huge bullet, unlike your daughter, whose five kids were going to be taken care of in just a few short years.
Your sister.
I'm sorry, your sister.
Yeah.
You have avoided this, and so have we, and that's fantastic. You need to work on getting yourself straight and take your meds, do therapy, all that stuff. Get a job.
Get out of the house.
Get out.
Keep it simple. Keep it simple, Christina.
Right. And the fact that you're not with guys, you don't realize how good that is,
especially
when you look back on it.
You know, watching American Idol reminds me how messed up people are in this country.
Yeah.
All the people with no insight and no self-concept and impaired judgments. And we laugh at this?
What about the people watching it to a certain extent, though?
Thank you.
Loving to see humiliation. Society that likes to see people be embarrassed, you know?
Well, I feel this as well, though.
Just like a little plop here, a little skeet there. Skeet, 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 skeet everywhere. Everybody skeet, skeets. That's how you do your three sums with me.
David Allen Greer on the new American Idol. Let me just say this. Please, ladies and gentlemen, can we please stop watching this show? The idea that there are people around this country that are delusional and can't sing, is that entertaining?
Right.
And I hate to say it, but, Randy Jackson, here's what happens. Randy Jackson's like, dog, I wasn't feeling it. And then
Paula.
Go back and listen to some Paula Abdul music. Talk about not holding up. I got egg salad that's in better shape than those songs from 1986. That stuff sucked. That stuff was brutally bad. Thank God
Simon
comes off like some sort of genius. He's like Orson Bean in between these two people because they're two dullards. I hate to say it, but they're two simpletons. He's sandwiched in between.
Oh, no.
And him saying, keep your day job, makes everyone fall to the ground and kiss it. Like, oh, my God, what a genius. He's not saying anything. He's been between two idiots. I know. Look, no less. Randy's a great music producer, I'm sure.
And a good guy.
But that does not make him smart and does not make him interesting and does not make him clever and does not make him funny. He's a good guy. We have him on the show. We like him. But you would seem like Mort Saul if you sat next to him on an airplane. And Paul Abdul, the same thing. Come on. What are they doing? And you got a guy who can't sing, and he's fat, and he's stupid, and he's delusional. And by the way, I think they're putting everyone on. I believe three-quarters of the people on there are just screwing with people now, going out there doing their thing.
Yeah.
Is this interesting? They're sitting at a folding table telling people they have no talent, who have no talent? Let's watch something else, like Crank Yankers. 9 o'clock, Wednesday
there
night.
There we go.
All right, take a quick break. Be right back.
Crank Yanker.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Love line. Yeah, I want to kiss a little Randy Jackson ass for a second.
Thank you.
I don't want to. We like Randy Jackson.
A lot.
As a person.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm saying, not a funny guy.
Okay.
And if you sat between him and Paula Abdul, you would come across as possibly more clever than you would if you sat between Rowan and Martin.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So we'll get back on the show now.
You have no idea how much tension was just relieved.
Josh Cook, everybody, from Committed, 9:30 on NBC, Tuesday nights. Josh, you're cool. We'll have you back.
Thanks.
All right. Keep on keeping on, and don't forget about us now.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we'll have the discussion where I have to go on some huge Coke binge and you know, be caught with hookers.
After your intimate encounter tonight. We'll
after say. The scramble, I'll talk
to you about
that. I'll
be outside the radio banging me in. Yeah, yeah. I like it.
Violent, though. We'll take a quick 22-hour break. And until next time, Sam Crowley for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
A rapist. This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.